Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have with me today Elena Lynn Lieberman, who is the author of The Principles of Dynamic Manifestation, as received through the Akashic Records. Today we're going to talk about manifestation because shortly, maybe within a year or so, what we think will manifest more quickly. So we need to become, number one, aware of what we're thinking. Number two, aware of how to control our emotions, because emotions will manifest things very quickly. They're kind of like the fuel of manifestation. And we need to understand how this whole process works. So Elena has written a book on the principles behind this, and it's very timely. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kolb. It's really a pleasure to be on your show and to share some of the principles with you and participate in what everybody has to say and what they think about manifestation.
So how did you come to write this book? What was the guiding force behind the book?
You know, I had been working with what is known as the Akashic Records for a number of years. I've worked with it for 22 years. But it's kind of a funny story as to how it started to happen and synthesizing it in a way that would produce a book. I was going down about four flights of stairs in an apartment building with a large laundry bag. And then I came walking up, lugging this bag, and suddenly a voice came to me, a female voice came to me and said, you're complete, you're whole, you're in wholeness. So it seemed like this very mundane physical activity allowed the calmness to come in, and I realized, in fact, that I was filled with light or a sense of well-being, and this put me into a state of joy. Because it seemed to happen out of nowhere, that even though everything that was very plain, a little laborious, was going on, suddenly I was placed into an awareness that came from within and became amplified. And so when I got into the apartment, this joy filled me, and I started to pick up pieces of paper and write gratitude and praise on everything, that it could just happen out of nowhere. That it could just come to me or be in me or manifest an outer state without doing something external that seemed connected. So it opened a whole area of awareness. And even though I had worked spiritually for a long time, it never made this kind of impact without setting it up. So that's what happened.
Right.
And then I started to write. The first thing I did before writing the book were what I call declarations and praise and gratitude, all of which is based on what you say, what you think, and then what you say, which is extremely powerful and a very big piece of the book.
Right. That's true. And I guess we'll get to that in a minute, but let's start off with the principles as you've outlined them in the book.
The principles, as I've outlined them in the book, is that basically there is a resource within that I have labeled in the book the inner God. And that is the sense of the great force, the Almighty, however it is for you, that is not only external to the self, but deeply internal. And that this force inside of you has produced your body. It has produced everything spiritually from an ethereal template or spiritual paradigm that is projected into the world and then becomes denser and denser, so the body is built and the thoughts, which are frequencies, are built. And everything is built upon that. And that is constant with you. It is at one with you. And it is loving all of its creation. It is totally bonded, and in fact, you can't separate yourself from this force. You think you can't see it. So everything that's expressed from that point through your essence, which is the underlying substance, is how you manifest. The more you become aware that this force is working within you and that there are certain bridges that go on that symbolize or mirror the work of this force, the more you can actually manifest. And so that's what's itemized in the book as far as the principles, and then there are little vignettes that talk about how that these symbols, or actually life symbols, come to be as a person becomes more aware, then it looks like outer things are happening to you or symbolized around you. And some of them are very unusual. You see inner life in things. You see the spirit of trees and plants. You see things that seem to be coming from other worlds, which has actually happened. It's happened to me. It's happened to clients. I use composites of clients in the book. So those are some of the principles as itemized in the book.
It's almost like the inner divinity, when there's no blockages to that coming out, like because we have thoughts that block or emotions that block, then it can manifest out into the outer world and reflect back to us what we need to see.
That's absolutely true. So the question becomes, what's the nature of the block, and how can that block be let go of? One of the techniques that has come forward in working in the Akashic Records, and of course is well founded in our religions, and was also examined by someone who worked in the records named Edward Comney, is how we use grace and forgiveness to give over to the divine and in exchange receive a direct connection to divinity. In other words, what that's about is not becoming this super saintly person and forgiving everything, even when the person is perhaps has committed a crime. That's not what it's about. What it's about is knowing that here is the block, here is the anger, here is this harshness that's coming in, and that we see it, and there is, even though we're attached to it, we say, this is us, we're expressing ourselves, we have a right to express ourselves, but it is still a creation on some level of the emotions. It still has some kind of a frequency, or it might be called an overlay over the authentic innocent person. The authentic innocent self is the place that works straight from the essence level, the underlying substance coming from the divine. So when we say, okay, I'm angry, we begin to use forgiveness, and we allow grace to come in so that we choose to give that over and connect with the light and the force itself to work with it. If we apply our patterns to it, we have limits because we work with consciously. If we give it over to a force that's much greater, what happens is that force can create in ways that we cannot conceive of. So if we let go, and it does require a faith to do so, but we work with it and keep letting go as the patterns come up, then what happens is the light comes in, so we begin to create fully. Nothing is diverted away from that creation. The anger, the judgment, takes energy away from the full creation, the positive creation that we are potentially able to do. So it's really a very important piece that you're identifying.
And then the higher frequency of praise and gratitude can kind of overwrite the more negative lower frequencies.
Yes. Yes, I do bring that point out. It's very important. I have seen there's kind of a fun, I have processes in the book, and there's a really fun one where you get up and you praise everything. You have, I call it hallelujah, brothers and sisters, because you go into a state of praise and love and acknowledgement where the frequency rises higher and higher, and it begins to expand, and you realize that in that state, you soar. You move way mm-hmm. out. And I have witnessed somewhat humorous things go on. I once had someone do this exercise, and they got back to their hotel room, and it turned out a number of people in their family called them to say how much they loved them. And they were in California, and she was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So it has... Frequency does not stop with the edge of our physical body. Frequency goes out, and we are creating an orchestra of frequency and participating in other people's frequencies. So when the harmonics are right, that's the life that we step into. We've created that life. We've co-created it with divine energy and actually other people. So if we understand that the resource is coming from divinity within and without, then it is a limitless capacity that we plug into to create new things, to give over things that seem to make us stuck, and to let the frequency rise higher and higher to create a reflection of the high inner state through the symbols, through the beauty. So that's how it works when we rise higher through praise, through gratitude. Gratitude is a limitless feeling. Gratitude is that I'm so thankful. Look at everything I have in any moment of my life, in what I see, the fact that we can see, that we see light. We see light images. Light hits our eyes and we see a whole world. So
true.
This is gratitude that we can create our lives with on any level. I mean, it's limitless.
I wanted to stop for just a minute. Some of our listeners might not be familiar with the Akashic Records. Can you speak to that for a minute?
Yes. The Akashic Records is considered to be the recording of all being. Originally, it was said that all of existence was etched or recorded into this very refined field of energy or essence. Now, in some writings, it says that every thought, word, deed, feeling, every creation is recorded into this field. It's also identified as the area where spirit turns into matter or becomes or creates matter, the primary substance. Some translations say it's light, but newer writings, such as the work of Erwin Laszlo, the physicists say that it's before light. It's more subtle even than light, and it's often called the unified field now by physicists. So
it's probably more informational.
That's a very important question that you're asking, and the question, and in fact, we work on this in classes: as what is information, and how do we receive it? Information can come through in any number of ways. When you're working with the Akashic Record of a soul, which is every thought, word, deed, action, and feeling, it is not necessarily, when we think of information, we often think of sort of a linear profile, born July 8th, and then this happened, then this happened. It doesn't work like that because it's dimensional. So you may receive from any number of senses, with any number of combinations. There is guidance from higher levels that are attuned to that field or the soul of an individual that come with it. It's a level of consciousness. So in the method that I use, we use the sacred prayer technique. I was taught that by someone named Mary Parker. It's a vibrational key that unlocks a connection to that level of essence. So when working with a person, we're working on the, we look at the development from the soul level and how we can bring the information forward for insight, transformation, development, and it can be applied to relationships, career, any number of ways. So we're tapping into that. Now, The Akashic field is also a creative force, Akasha, primary substance. So there are techniques where you can use the Akashic field or use that level of very deep, subtle insight to create. My sister creates beautiful mandalas for people based on that individual's Akashic record, and she receives symbols, and then she draws this into the oneness of the mandala. The mandala is a sacred circle that's drawn. Mm-hmm. So it can be used creatively, or it can be used to receive information. In religions, it's often called Book of God's Remembrances, Book of Life, Heavenly Registries, all of those ideas that there's an imprint of everything in this indelible, subtle field.
So basically, when you're talking about the inner divinity, this would be our connection that never would leave us, even after our physical body dies. That connection's still there. And it is there a way you think about the inner divinity being? How would you characterize the inner divinity to the Akashic record for a soul?
That's a very good question. What we're working with the stillness or the essence level of a person, the underlying essence level. The essence is never destroyed.
Right.
It's an emanation coming from the divine. And the more you work in the Akashic record, the more you realize what you're tapping into is a resource of unconditional love and support and a deeper reverence of divinity or holiness, the sacredness of life.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's tapped into, and it grows. So you make different choices once you're attuned to that kind of level. The essence remains as an extension of the ray of God, which is in all of us. So when we tap in more and more and see that we're working with the Creator through our creative force, what we choose to bring out into the world has a much higher selective consciousness. We don't want to be distracted, because once you're in that field, there's more and more love and light, and it's wonderful, it's joyful, it's uplifting. We know that we're doing the work of our authentic soul when we are engrossed. It seems endless, beyond time. It's not a false sense. It means that we're in a space that we're connecting into the endlessness, the infinite, that which is created through the soul work. And those are some of the signals that we're accessing it through those levels of absorption, creation. We feel as if everything is new. We feel innocent, pure, and that there's a flow that keeps going. And all feelings of aspiration or trying to get something, all of that is very, very distant. Very distant, because there's a feeling of things flowing from you that go beyond you without time, without limits, and it keeps going. And then the sense of satiation or fulfillment comes when you know that particular part is complete. And in fact, the fascinating piece, which actually I put into the introduction of the book, is that our entire body is built that way. You know, we don't say, you know, okay, blood, you know, go to the head. We don't do that. The mechanisms are about balance, harmony.
Right. Well, I've had surgeries that have lasted like 17 hours, and I'm definitely in the flow because they seem timeless.
Yes. Well, you're tapping
in. And normally 17 hours, you'd be very tired.
Yes. Because you're working very deep with the creative pattern. And what's fascinating about that example, which is a a terrific example, actually, is that the flows, when you're dealing with the flows of the physical body, mm-hmm. you are dealing with the symbol of the spiritual that is manifested mm-hmm. to be harmonious with this world. So there's a miraculous, you're as a healer, you are dealing with something that is miraculous. That yeah. can exist, and that can work so beautifully.
And we see it in surgery, too. We see things yeah. that are absolutely impossible. I mean, things that, like, don't have a blood supply, then do have mm-hmm. a blood supply, you see? It's really mm-hmm. magical sometimes.
Yes, it is magical.
You see the life force manifest right in front of you.
Yes. Absolutely.
And we look at each other.
I think it's just a terrific thing. Yes.
It is.
I think it's really amazing that you can work with the life force in this manner and then see how you can manifest health and allow mm-hmm. the flow, allow the life of the person to become fuller, more complete, more whole.
In recovery, this is interesting. In recovery, say the surgery is like 10 hours, right? So mm-hmm. in recovery, the patient wakes up feeling wonderful. I mean, they have this light around them. They're all energetic. They're all, like, feeling much better. Their pain's gone. And meanwhile, in recovery, I'm exhausted. It's hilarious. They look much better than I do.
Uh-huh. Well, you went to
whatever
work.
Whatever connection I had in the OR breaks when I walk out of the OR. You know, it breaks. It's and then all of a sudden, I'm 17 hours without food, haven't gone to the bathroom, you know.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So it's kind of funny.
It is funny.
But I'm obviously connected in that OR, you know. I'm
yes.
connected big time, and they're much better because of it. You know, they come
yeah.
out and they're doing real well.
So it's,
and
it's
my manager says, it's an exorcism. They go in pretty sick. You know, they're infected. They're pretty sick, and they come out looking pretty good. It's funny.
This reminds me of a very interesting story regarding that. I once had a client who had a serious stomach problem and believed in alternative healing, and she went to an actual Indian tribe with a shaman from the tribe in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked with the energy. And he actually created a tumor in her stomach. Actually, swelled it like a tumor. Under
mm-hmm.
the skin, it rose. He took the energy, infected energy, and through his ancient methodology, it moved it into this area under the skin. And then
mm-hmm.
he told her, he said, "Now you go to a Western doctor to remove
it." Get it cut out.
Yes, he said, because that will be the final exorcism or letting
uh-huh.
go of this energy which is stopping your life. And she did.
Yeah, well, psychic surgeons do that. They take the tumors out with psychic surgery, too. We can take
yes.
them out with surgery. They can take them out with psychic surgery. You know, my guidance back when I had a grapefruit-sized tumor in my coming off my uterus that was laying on my urethra, which is bad when you're a surgeon, wasn't to have surgery. In fact, I was told not to have surgery. I was told to find a psychic surgeon, which I did, and now it's about the size of a golf ball. So, you
wow.
know, I mean, it's wild, but each of us has an internal guidance system that actually, if we follow the guidance, it works just very well.
Yes. So
she was sent to a regular surgeon and me a surgeon. I was sent to a psychic surgeon.
Well, that's wonderful that you did that. And so you're working with a lot of high guidance in addition to all your education and experience.
Mm-hmm.
When you're working these long operations, the force comes through you, it sustains you, and then it's not until later that you realize how depleted you are, because now the
yeah.
nurturance has to turn to you.
Right. Because, you know, I mean, you haven't eaten or usually don't drink anything. Sometimes we have some ginger ale for the sugar, but, you know, and for some reason our kidneys shut off. We don't need to urinate. It's weird. I mean, I've been in surgery every 24 hours straight.
And so what you're being supported.
I mean, we can break and go to the bathroom, and it is possible, especially when there's two surgeons there. But, you know, it's people ask you, ask me and other surgeons, how do we do it? And the answer is you're connected to an energy source that is pretty, pretty amazing.
Yes.
And you stay energized. And you're not thinking about yourself. You're totally focused on what you're doing.
Yes. So the focus then is on what you're doing. All the mm-hmm. energy is organized to create what you're doing. So that
right.
that's a very important thing. It's brought through that energy force. One of the important principles of manifestation is that the force, if it's coming through you and pushing to the mm-hmm. surface, like a huge wave on the ocean. It's pushing. You can't take that wave and say, stop. I mean, it's ridiculous. You allow it, and then it comes ashore. So it's the same in what you're creating. You go with it, and then you manifest it. This is an excellent, the operation is a wonderful example of manifestation, because you keep going with the force, and you ride the crest of it, you keep working with it, you pull the abstract, your wisdom, your training, and the force mm-hmm. comes through to a physical action.
Right.
When
and
people,
sometimes we're rebuilding everything, you know.
You're rebuilding.
Like somebody went through a windshield and is totally, looks like somebody else, we'll ask for a picture, and then we're trying to rebuild them the way they used to look like, you know, so it's
yes.
almost sculpting in flesh.
Yes, and what you're doing, can you imagine, this is such a good example that you're giving, because can you imagine if at some point during that operation you said, well, I don't think I'll do that now, or I really shouldn't be doing this, which is what people do that stop themselves from manifesting, even when they feel the force leading them.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is an excellent
example. We don't have that choice.
You don't have the choice, but also you realize the significance of what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
because it's a life or death, or it's something that will literally transform a human being, a physical human being.
Yeah, most people don't have surgery just for, you know, frivolous stuff. Even cosmetic surgery isn't frivolous. People have really good reasons for doing it.
Yes. So cosmetic surgery has to do with ideally, it would symbolize what the person's feeling inside that would make them
right.
beautiful to the outer world. If it's done thinking that that's the only way to get something, it
mm-hmm.
will be less successful in terms of their psyche. They may look beautiful, but so it really takes a little realization or consciousness when they make that decision to say, I feel there's something that will come out more beautifully in the world if I have this done. I can
yeah,
it's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier for me to be in the world.
Well, a lot of cosmetic surgery is just restoring what you used to have, you know,
yeah.
a more youthful look. Or after you have children, restoring your breasts and abdomen to the way they used to be. Now, when women don't have breasts, when their breasts don't develop, restoring breasts and restore, or if they have cancer and lose a breast to cancer, we're really restoring a norm, okay? I don't have too many patients who, like, want to have, you know, size triple D breasts or anything, because actually that's not healthy. So they tend not to come to me. They go to other plastic surgeons who probably worship larger breasts, you know, which
yeah.
are not usually female. So, you know, I don't see those patients. So most of the patients that are coming to me are actually I believe they're spiritually guided to come here, and they're trying to do something that their soul is guiding them to do it, you see. So it's not
yes.
going to be frivolous. We hardly ever see that. I mean, hardly ever, just because of the nature of what we're doing here.
Yes, and because you're dealing with a deeper level. you're attracting a deeper level to you, and you're working at, even when you're describing how many hours of dedication that you're putting in, it's really to bring that person to a fuller life, a fuller potential in their life, and restoring anything that diminishes the force running through them in any way. Mm-hmm. And letting them really feel that life again, encouraging it, restoring their life.
Right. And when I cannot see something happening, like occasionally I'll see a patient in consultation, but I can't see me doing their surgery, something will always happen so that the surgery is canceled.
Well, that's really something.
Isn't that
interesting? You're given the vision of how you connect to that person as their next step. You're given the vision of your contribution. You are given a vision of what will truly help that person move into living completely and fully in their life, and you have a sense of how you fit completely or how they fit you.
I wrote a book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, and I have patients from all over the world come here. They're spiritually guided. Just about every one of them is spiritually guided, or someone close to them is spiritually guided to bring them here. And they're often deathly ill with chemical or biotoxicity from breast implants, and then we treat the problem, along which requires surgery as part of the treatment. So I would say, in that instance, the majority of people are very much guided here, and it's life-saving, because without the surgery, they don't do well at all. Many of them die of infections or cancer or suicide. In fact, we're going to be on Monsters Inside Me. We are on Monsters Inside Me, www.discoveryuk.com. If you go to Monsters Inside Me, you'll see the clinic featured there. It'll play in the U.S. later this year, but you'll see Catherine Gordon, who was deathly ill from her mold-infested breast implants, and she had decided to kill herself, and had a dream that night that it really was her implants making her sick, even though her husband didn't believe her and her doctors said it wasn't her implants. And so the next day she called me, and then she came up here and had her mold-infested breast implants taken out. So that was, people were spiritually guided. She was guided by her dream.
My sense around it. Now, sometimes for these interviews, I have my Akashic records open. We call it opening my own. My sense around it is that in prior lifetimes, you were well known also as a healer, and that these are souls that knew you before, and also know that they will. You recognize them when you're shown a vision before you were incarnate. And when that vision comes up for you when you meet that person, and they know about you from prior lifetimes, and also they know they're led by their own inner wisdom, higher wisdom, and also they have been told before the incarnation that you will be there again for them, and you've been there before. And that's a very strong perception being brought through here.
Yeah, have you heard of the Temple Beautiful?
No.
The Temple Beautiful
in another language.
It was first described by Edgar Cayce in Atlantis. In Atlantis, we did surgery because there was a lot of genetic experiments that went awry. And I was the head of the Temple Beautiful in Atlantis, and I was a surgeon. And you're absolutely right.
I truly believe that's accurate. And let me say that in Atlantis also, it was done, it's not in the physical as we experience it. It was in another frequency. It bridged worlds, which is why you're back now.
That's true.
The frequency is going higher. The physical is not exactly the physical. When you talked about manifesting faster, particularly through the vibration of words and thoughts, but what's happening is that you're it's very clear now that you're drawing, even though you have formal training, but you're drawing on training from many lives when you do your operations mm-hmm. and your consultations.
So yeah, that's very true. When it was interesting, when I was a medical student, I was the only medical student they ever allowed to first assist on a heart operation.
Oh.
So, you know, that wouldn't happen unless you had a lot of previous experience in other lifetimes. Do you see?
And I would also agree with that, and I would also agree that you had lifetimes in the depth of Africa, where in another dimension, or as a healer, a shaman
mm-hmm.
in Africa. But there's another place outside of Brazil. The etheric city is called Minas Gerais, outside of Brazil. And there are healers of other many dimensions that come there, which bring about healing for people. And my sense is that you're also tapped into that, that there are other levels you can go to.
It's interesting that when I was a major in the Air Force, a 3-star general gave me a book on Brazilian healers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ones that are the surgeons that just take the knives with no anesthesia and cut things, you know, like John of God.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? So he just handed me a book on it and said, here, read this.
Yeah.
But that's how you know those connections.
Those frequencies, yes, absolutely. So it's very clear that when you're doing your operations, also what is around you, there's a lot of guidance. There's a
mm-hmm.
lot of...
there is.
A spiritual hierarchy that's working with you. As some are from one hierarchy, there's also some from other ones, because you're designated to bring about great shifts, and you're here at the time of great shifts in the world, and to heal, repair, and restore, so that there's a very deep sense of connectivity and connection. So you're one of those people.
Yeah, one of my missions is to bring in the understanding of spontaneous remission.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So I interview on this show. I've interviewed Irvin Laszlo. I've interviewed Amit
mm-hmm.
Goswami. I've interviewed Miko Kishu. I can't pronounce his name, but he's one of the founders of the superstring theory. So I interview
mm-hmm.
all the greatest minds in the world on spontaneous remission. The radio show is a great way to gather information.
Yeah.
It's great.
But also when you're exposed, for instance, to know that you're there, to feel the frequency, what you're doing is literally networking, because you have networks of frequency that are being exchanged. People are remembering. You're awakening people to
mm-hmm.
this beautiful awareness that transcends the physical, yet you're speaking through the physical. You're doing through the physical. That becomes your medium, but
mm-hmm.
it isn't the origin or what you're bringing through. You're bringing through a higher attunement. You're bringing through what we call memory, which is vibrational orchestration to what we
mm-hmm.
call the past. And you bring
yeah,
it into the present.
Yeah, I'm told it's activation. I activate people. And a lot of times, many times, people have become clairvoyant after the surgeries. They've awoken to many gifts: clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient. Their spiritual gifts have done very, you know, increased considerably. But of course, they're very sick before the surgery too. So whenever you're sick, you know, if you don't feel well, you know, it's hard to do spiritual practices. You know, you just want to rest and do other things. So
what's happening is by them, their overlays are breaking down, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
or their overlays are not serving them, is a better way to put that, and you're lifting that out, and then they're attuning to your presence. They're attuning to what you contain in the heart of wisdom. The heart
mm-hmm.
level, the what I call the supernal heart, which is where true manifestation comes from, and
it
that
does.
You're
That's
you're very
true.
Tapped into that in your wholeness, in your integrity. You're tapped into that, and that's where you work from. And so when they're non, it's easier because they're not, if they're non-conscious, because then they'll tune, they'll just attune in. They won't start thinking about anything in particular.
Yeah, right. talk themselves out of it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, they'll tune in
to
you.
Well, they come out different. They do. And, you know, you can, I mean, anybody can Google my name and see what is said about the surgery here. It does change people's lives. So, you know, that's why we're here. That's good.
Yes. Well, this is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So manifestation. Now, manifestation is going to be easier in the next few months, maybe 6 months, a year, whatever. We're not exactly sure. Might be even sooner than that. So with the energy coming in now that is going to make manifestation more readily available for everybody, what do they need to know?
They need to know their own power, their empowerment, that particularly by the word. There are two ways the cosmos is shaped. It's shaped by the sound current, which we interpret as the word or tones, mm-hmm. or mantras. It's also shaped by light. Mm-hmm. So our part with that is to be aware of greater light and to allow the words that we choose to become wonderful, high quality, high vibration ways to declare what we want to manifest into the world, what we want to create. And by repeating this with praise and gratitude, we can begin to manifest a very high, beautiful level of life, emotionally, spiritually, financially, as we begin to praise it as if it were God or divinity. In other words, to mm-hmm. see the divinity within and allow our words to carry us upward. When you do your surgery, there is a sense of reverence for the body. Mm-hmm. There is a love. There is a knowing that you are restoring, and if you move forward with it, that miraculous things can happen. There is a respect. There is high integrity. There is ancient wisdom that is held not sentimentally. It's held deeper. It's held in a higher frequency, which says this is sacred. Mm-hmm. Your body is a sacred temple. A sacred force dwells there, and let us elevate it. Let us make it beautiful. Let us bring that to existence. There is a respect that you are vibrating with, and that is how you manifest, to know that and then speak from that place, work from that place. If you need to be nourished, nourish yourself to bring you to that place and keep connected. Keep connected to the deepest level that you can of that kind of wisdom. That's how you manifest more quickly.
And I want to remind people that lately anyway, whenever I hear someone say, oh, that just makes me sick to death, or that just, you know, those kind of words, yeah. I just recoil from that now, because I have a sense of, you know, in a little bit, saying that could actually manifest your death. You need to be very careful not to say that. You know, it just is the death of me, or that, you know, anything that you're speaking that is, saying somebody's a pain in the neck, or somebody is bothering you to death, or whatever. You have to be very careful of those words right now.
They have to basically be cancel, or forgive and release, or do some process that will send them on their spiritual evolution, send the words on their spiritual evolution, mm-hmm. just send them off, cancel them.
So they don't manifest.
Let go of them. Don't connect to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, people need to be aware that at least in the next, the next year, to try to change those habits, because they're habits. It's not.
They are habits, and the awareness is to it moves, letting the awareness move deeper to release it, mm-hmm. and to give it over and just feel the connection instead of connecting or hooking into that person. They're making the comment or about themselves in that way. To mm-hmm. release the thought, have the consciousness to know I release it and I let something much higher come in instead of it that will work with me to bring about something better in my life. Better meaning yeah. something that brings joy or harmony or peace.
Yeah, so if, you know, when you're, if you catch yourself saying these things, just say cancel clear and try not to do it, keep doing it again, you know.
Yes, cancel is our, it's a little thing that we do here sometimes.
Right, yeah. So, in the principles of dynamic manifestation, you talk about, there's a chapter on praise, gratitude, and adoration that, mm-hmm. that we know are very important for raising our vibration and for, you know, bringing forth that which we want to manifest. But I guess the question is, how much do we want to project what we want to manifest? I mean, is it really worthwhile to sit around and spend a lot of time trying to manifest money? I mean, or should we manifest health? Or, you know, what? How do we choose what we want to manifest?
The decision is based, number one, going into a place before all of that where you feel connected to peace or love. That's your mm-hmm. core place, to, and it's inside. That's your main place. And then you begin, when you create the life that you feel will be the symbol of this place, there's a bridge to that, so that when you praise, you start with what you have, and you praise that. You praise this, the inner knowing that I'm given this. This is wonderful. This person is one. And you begin to work with that. When you create the life is a symbol of that inner place, that inner peace, that inner connection, which can include money. And in particular, just as you said, to let go of collective beliefs about what money is and to bring it, mm-hmm. allow it to be something that reflects the inner peace, the abundance of peace, instead of something that brings disharmony. Mm-hmm. So that's a real switch for people. Almost every
yeah.
religious platform says, tells you to renounce money or materialism.
Yeah. Right. And you know, what I do is I look on it as a form of energy. And if spirit has me with a particular expensive mission to manifest, which, you know, it could be in my contract, then of course I'm going to have to be given a lot of money to manifest it. You see, it's like it's a given that would be needed. But other people may not have an expensive mission that they came in with a contract to manifest, so they may just manifest enough to, you know, have their needs met and food, shelter, you know, some stuff they want, but not have millions and millions and millions manifest that actually could be troublesome for them, you know, because then you have all
yes.
this money, you're not sure what to do with it, you know, people can take advantage of you, you know. There's a lot of disadvantages having a lot of money without the knowledge of where to put it. And you can study that just by looking at people who win the lottery, you know, and the problems that can create for some people. So,
well,
you know.
Also, if there's not an understanding of the inner creation and what it's connected
mm-hmm.
to, if it's viewed only as something outside that you're given with
right.
a disconnect, then it's not symbolizing. What money will do is magnify, it's very powerful, so it'll magnify the weaknesses. But if it's done from a place of deep connectedness or praise or gratitude, if the person chooses to manifest money as a symbol,
mm-hmm.
they may or may not, then it's very different, because it becomes symbolic of what's going on inside. As the light grows larger, it may symbolize as long as there's an understanding that it's there's an internal connection to God.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I did bring out is that in the past, you gave lots of money to temples and churches,
mm-hmm.
and that it was out there, and religion was out there. And what's being said is that it's a reflection of a deep connection that's inside. It becomes a symbol of something that's internal. And so when the manifestation occurs, it's not about getting rich quick. It's about another reflection, another beauty, another creation that is part of the world activated from the inside, moving out into the manifestation of what we call the external or the world around us.
So perhaps a better way to look at this, instead of trying to manifest money or a husband or a wife or a, you know, a trip to the Caribbean, would be to connect within through your inner, you know, the inner divinity, and
mm-hmm.
ask that whatever it is that you have come to manifest through your soul contracts, that be brought forth into the outer, be it money, relationships, because actually connections can be very, very important. Without connections, you know, you don't have opportunity in terms of, by connections, I mean relationships, business relationships, relationships with his client, like my patients, that I wouldn't have anything if I didn't like my patients, and I mean,
well,
my life would be very miserable if I was taking care of a bunch of people I didn't like, you know, that would be horrible.
So when you talk, you would be terrible.
Yeah, right.
When we talk about that, the connections come if the manifestation is from the deeper level of heart.
Right.
Unless you want
exactly.
to manifest connections, if you want connections of wonderful people who are mm-hmm. very supportive, who are inspiring.
Right.
That's part of your life. That's something you want to be symbolized in your life. So absolutely, mm-hmm. that could be part of it. It's like spheres coming from deep within, and it goes outwards and outwards.
Mm-hmm.
Outwards, the vibrations reach outwards and
right.
rise higher. So everything is reflecting
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, my bookkeeper says whenever I need money, money comes in, and that's exactly what happens. You know, if they need
mm-hmm.
money, if it's a little bit of money, a little bit of money comes in. If it's a lot of money, a lot of money comes in. So, you know, you just manifest what you need.
You have a contract to be divinely supported on your mission.
I do. So
yes,
when
you
I'm
do.
Short of money, I ask for some money.
Yes, and there's a faith that it will be so. There's not
right.
there's not a questioning, well, this, that, and he did and she did. That's not
mm-hmm.
your nature. You
mm-hmm.
you have a belief, and so there's a purity to it. There's a belief and an openness to be supported, to receive and keep creating,
right.
keep healing,
right.
and to allow that. What we really see is it goes outwards and outwards, and your
mm-hmm.
expansion with this kind of energy or essence, it's really from your essence, what will happen is, as you say, people come from all over the world, and they will continue
mm-hmm.
to do so, and more of it, as long as you want that to happen, and it will probably
mm-hmm.
continue until you say stop.
Right, right, that's true.
Because that's part of the legacy. It's understanding that in your life there is this gift, there is a legacy that the divine puts through from the very depths of your being that will always be supported.
That's wonderful. What a gift,
mm-hmm.
huh? That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give some contact information?
Oh, yes, thank you. My website is dynamicmanifestation.com. And I can be contacted at Radiant Center, RadiantCenter, @yahoo.com.
Well, that's great. And if people can't, if if people can't spell something, they can always put it in Google and it'll spell it for you. I found
that. Yes, or you can Google my name. You can Google my name, and you'll get a lot of information too.
There you go. Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a delightful interview, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to get Elena's book. It is The Principles of Dynamic Manifestation as Received Through the Akashic Records. I encourage you all to understand the Akashic Records and how it can help you, especially now, and how we all need to understand how manifestation is changing and what we can do to take advantage of it.
Well, thank you. It was a real pleasure to be on your show, and I learned so much about you and the tremendous contribution you're making to so many people throughout the world.
Well, thank you for your kind words. I appreciate that. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Andy Tomlinson, Healing the Eternal Soul, Insights from Past Life and Spiritual Regression. And then Dr. Richie Shoemaker will be back, Surviving Mold, Life in the Air of Dangerous Buildings. And Greg Braden will be on the 11th of August, Deep Truth, Igniting the Memory of Our Origin, History, Destiny, and Fate. And then my friend Eva Hare will be on with her new book, Consciousness, Bridging the Gap Between Conventional Science and the New Superscience of Quantum Physics. Eva has a show similar to mine on BBS Radio, and we share information and all sorts of things, and so it'll be great to interview her. Well, thanks so much for joining me today. Elena, I appreciate it, and enjoyed your book very much.
Thank you so much.
This is Dr. Susan Cobb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week, and have a great week.